This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink, a drink to Lily, the pink, the pink, the pink, the saviour of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case. Mr. Fleas had sticky out ears.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike McKemmon on Plains FM 96.9, and this is The Medicine Man. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about what we talked about last week, which was when you get something seriously diagnosed. And of course, one of the big ones is cancer, the big C. And so if you have friends or family or loved ones that's been diagnosed with this really dreaded thing that brings a lot of fear up in people, a lot of shock, a lot of denial, there's all sorts of things that you go through. Well, natural medicine has a completely different slant on how to actually cope when you have that terrible diagnosis. So we're not going to talk about the cure. We're going to talk about ways to manage it and talk about things that may actually help. So we'll have a little song and we'll come back to you soon. So, Mike McKemmon, Medicine Man, and we're talking about serious illnesses today. You know, we might want to talk about supposedly incurable things, but let's look at the cancer. The rate of cancer has increased exponentially over the years, and there's a huge incidence of cancer now in the Western industrialized world, but it's interesting enough that some people that still eat traditional diets have a very low rate of cancer. You can always look that up if you don't believe me. When you have a traditional diet that's based on I wouldn't say hunting and gathering, but more natural food, foods that are alive, foods that are whole. In other words, it's not processed so much. Living food, it's still got the enzymes, and you've still got some medicinal properties in foods like onions and garlic and turmeric and herbs and spices and all those sorts of things. And if you avoid chemicals and so forth in your diet, you're actually going to have a stronger immune system and your chances of getting cancer are minimalized. Now, that is not just some silly idea. This is fact. You can look it up if you want to, but I'm not going to go into trying to justify or prove it all. So I'm turned up today because I'm perhaps not as perky as normal, because I thought that I'd go into the Cancer Society here in Christchurch website to have a look at what they've got to say about alternative medicine. And I have to say, folks, it's not a really happy picture. It's incredibly unfair, and basically they're saying that natural medicine is unproven. Unproven, and that's the first thing you find out if you look up under alternative medicine or natural medicine. The message is that there's a lot of codswallop. You know, they'll throw a little lip service that echinacea might do something and so on and so forth. And, you know, but basically they're unproven. So just because 75% of the world's population still use herbal medicine as their primary means of healthcare, and just because everybody with cancer, of the people that are diagnosed with cancer in this country, 60% of them are using herbal medicine also, but they do not tell their doctors. And so when you go into the the Cancer Society website, the message that you get if you just read the general tone of it is it's unproven. Well, and I wonder why they want to do that. Why would they want to stop people from actually having knowledge that can actually improve their health? And I'm not claiming to cure cancer. Let's get that very clear. But to actually put people off even looking into it, I think it's really depressing, right? So they'll send you to another website that'll say, if you want to know about herbal remedies and how they can affect your cancer treatment, because I'm not telling you not to have chemotherapy, but if you want to know if you're going to use herbal treatments along with it, they're going to tell you to stop everything a week before. Now, that's a very controversial thing to say. And yes, there are some herbs that you do not use, such as ginkgo. It too much thins the blood too much. Hypericum, a certain amount of things that you won't use. You won't want to use too many things that will thin the blood if you're already on blood thinners. Yeah, I get that. But this is really super exaggerated. So the first thing you'll get is 5 points, which are basically headings, how herbs interact with other medicines, how they can increase or lower blood pressure. They can thin your blood, increase your list of bleeding, make radiation less effective. That is a half-truth, and that's worse than a lie because you can believe it. It increases the effects of sedation, of anesthesia, and make you sleepy, blah, 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 blah. It's all about, holy cow, if I was a cancer patient reading this, I'm not going to look into it any further. There's too much of a risk. But I want to make the statement again and see if someone can, anybody out there, can disprove the statement. In the entire history of this country, not one single fatality on herbal medicine. And as I've said before, of the extensive lecturing and seminars I've done, I always ask the audience, how many people know anybody who's had any side effect from a herbal medicine? And in over 40 years, off and on, giving seminars and talks, I have only had one comment of a side effect from a herbal remedy out of all those thousands of people, and that was diarrhea, that they took too much kawakawa in this case, which can be incredibly cleansing. And it just gave them diarrhea. So that's the worst I've heard. And I've heard all sorts of rumors about how comfrey can be toxic and so forth. Well, you'd have to eat a room full of comfrey before you die. And the type of poison that's in comfrey leaf, I mean, I don't know anyone that will eat a salad of comfrey because it's not very nice. But there was one case, I think, in Australia who thought that comfrey would cure his cancer, and he ate tons of comfrey and he died from liver poisoning, but that's not proven whether it was the comfrey or whether it was the medication he was using. But the fact is that comfrey has this toxin called has a liver toxin, very similar to what peanuts have got. So if you eat too many peanuts, you can kill yourself. So if there's any herb, you can kill yourself if you eat a lot of it, okay, as you can with water. And this is where the half-truth comes in, the scare tactics. And why would, you ask yourself, why would anyone want to put you off, you who's suffering at the moment, or your loved one, why would anyone want to say, don't take herbal medicine, don't change your diet, don't eat all this? I'm absolutely astonished. Should I be astonished? Am I just naive? So yes, I'm somewhat astonished as to, you know, I know that everybody in medicine, supposedly we say these things, I say these things and I'm committed to it, and I really am committed to it, is first do no harm. But I can't say that the standard treatment for chemotherapy doesn't really follow that premise, which is supposed to be the first premise of natural healthcare, or of any healthcare, is first do no harm. And we know damn well that radiation's toxic. It's toxic to cancer cells for sure, so is chemotherapy, but it's also toxic to every other living cell. And so you're going to give something very harmful, but at the same time, if you give just the right dose, it can actually have some benefit. And this is the point. I'm not putting down standard treatments for cancer. What I am saying, I think it's a horrendous It's wrong. It's just downright wrong to prevent people from getting the knowledge that can make their cancer treatments more effective, and it damn well could be, by using herbs and the good diet. You can have a stronger immune system. So what happened this morning, of course, I went into the Cancer Society website, and first of all, I basically got the impression that herbal medicine is completely useless and don't go any further. But if you do, here's another link. So they send you to a link called the Sloan Kettering Foundation. So that is herbal remedies and cancer treatment. Well, that's really interesting. So I tend to agree in some things here, but the astonishing thing is the general impression you get when you go here is don't do it. There's too many risks taking all these nasty, horrible, lethal herbs. Way too much risk. And let's go through some common herbs that they actually write down and the risks of taking echinacea. Well, you can have an allergic reaction to it, by crikey, such as a rash or even difficult breathing. Well, in 40 years of using echinacea on, I don't know, 30,000 patients so far, haven't had any of that reaction. Not one of them has come up with a rash. Nobody has come up with an allergic reaction, especially since when I do prescribe it, I don't prescribe it on its own. And that's the thing. You don't prescribe echinacea on its own. You always have a soothing emollient herb with it, such as licorice or fennel or slippery elm, and that stops any allergic reaction. So when you know what you're doing, you're not going to get allergic reactions. However, they're not going to tell you that in this website. And then they're going to say, oh, it can lower the effects of medications used to weaken the immune system. Yeah, funny that, because echinacea is immunostimulant, but it's also, and here's the rub, it's also an immunomodulator. And a modulating effect means that it will not go over extreme. A modulating effect, if the immune system is overreacting, so for example, if you have an autoimmune disorder, the echinacea, if used correctly, will not take it to excess, will actually bring it down. And if the immune system is too low, a lowered immunity, it will bring it up. It's a modulating effect. So echinacea is an immunomodulator. But funny that they're not going to tell you that there. Then they go on to garlic. Oh my God, can lower your blood pressure. It can lower your fat and cholesterol levels. That's a good thing, isn't it? I would think that's a good thing. However, but it also can increase your risk of bleeding. I get that you don't use garlic a week before you're having chemotherapy, and there's certain drugs that you don't have garlic with. I get that. But again, they don't tell you all the other wonderful things about garlic, that it has got selenium in it. And selenium happens to be an anti-cancer nutrient, a trace element that's in garlic. And of course, it's got allicin, which is an antibiotic, antiseptic, and purifying for the bloodstream. It's absolutely wonderful when used correctly. And this is the key point here. Is when you see someone who's trained in herbal medicine, we know what to put with what, and we know this thing called synergism, that when two and two are put together, two herbs are put together, the sum of the effects is greater than the sum of the parts. That's why I say, and I said last week, that one and one make three. And it sounds like that's pretty crazy, but when you understand synergism, you're not going to cause harm with herbs. Let's look at another one. Ginkgo can increase your risk of bleeding. Yeah, I got that, but they don't tell you all the other hundreds of things that ginkgo can do that can boost your immunity, improve your memory, concentration, thin your blood, etc., etc., etc. They only tell you the risks of it. Yeah, I get that. Don't use ginkgo when you're having chemotherapy. Absolutely not. There's certain medications you don't have ginkgo with. I get that. But why don't they say all the good things that ginkgo can do? Why not? Why do they leave that out? The other one is ginseng. In China, it's standard treatment to add ginseng formulations to any cancer treatment. And it's one of the best herbs to helping the body's resistance so that they can fight the cancer better. Oh boy, no. Ginsengs can lower the effects of sedation or anesthesia, can increase your risk of bleeding, can lower your blood sugar, blah, 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 blah. And they forget to tell you that ginseng is also an immunomodulator. And it's basically an adaptogen. So if the blood pressure is too high, ginseng will bring it down. If the blood pressure is too low, ginseng will bring it up. That's called intelligence. Isn't that amazing? Yes, these herbs have a certain level of intelligence. They're not just chemicals. They have wisdom, they have will, and they have emotion, believe it or not. Plants actually have an extra dimension that pharmaceutical products will never have. And what are they saying about turmeric now? It's been all the rage, hasn't it? I bet you some of you out there are using turmeric. There's so many people using turmeric now. And of course, it's been used in India for thousands of years, and they're not silly. Okay, so turmeric. What does turmeric do? What do they say about it when you look on this website? Oh, there's only one line here. It says, can make chemotherapy less effective. All right, it's exciting. And it may be true. I don't believe it. However, it may be true. Give them credit for that. But what about all the other things it can do? This is just incredible. And then, of course, they go on with St. John's wort. Okay, so this can react with medication. And yes, it can. But you don't, as I say, you don't give St. John's wort on its own when you're a herbalist. You know what to do and how to use St. John's wort to make it safe. But certainly you don't use St. John's wort if you're using any psychoactive drugs and you're on antidepressants or anti-anxiolytics. Absolutely not. But again, they don't tell you all the good things that it can do. Then they go into valerian, and remember they got the idea of valium from valerian, which is a wonderful sedative, but it can increase the effects of anesthesia or sedation. Yes, I agree with that, but they don't tell you the other things. So then they say herbal formulas, and I'm quoting, contain different herbs. We don't know their side effects. Well, of course you don't know because you're not trained, and you had, anyway, you must also stop taking these products a week before treatment. Okay. Maybe so, maybe not. But I would say that it would be a good idea. Wouldn't it be a good idea to ask someone who actually knows about herbs? So the other thing that I clicked on when I got to this particular website that I started with, remember, the Canterbury Cancer Society here, and they eventually had another little link there, which was someone else talking about herbs and sort of confessing that, yes, this does that and that. But then they say, however, you know, and I'm just wondering, so the impression that you get from watching this chap talking on the website about herbal medicine to these professionals, doctors, nurses, and so, is how dangerous they are, right? How dangerous they are. That's the impression. And funnily enough, what sort of payroll is this guy on? Pharmaceutical company payroll. Isn't that interesting? Why would a pharmaceutical company rep, why would he want to discredit herbs? Well, I'll leave that as an open question. Now, let's see what, again, let's go back to echinacea and say what they say about echinacea. And this is quite cunning because here's a really good sentence. In vitro and in vivo. So in vitro means in the laboratory dish, and in vivo means in the human body, in the living system, okay? Echinacea extracts were shown to stimulate phagocytosis and enhance the motility of leukocytes, all right? Now, that's interesting because what they're really saying, let's make this plain language, that echinacea, even in a laboratory dish of blood, makes the phagocytes and leukocytes. These are immune cells that actually fight cancers, right? They attack cancers and dissolve enzymes into them and dissolve them. And they are actually admitting that echinacea actually does this, not only on in a laboratory dish, but in a human body or in a living system. But then they go on to say this wonderful word, however. It's going to take me ages just to figure out what the heck they're saying, but the general tone of it is, oh, well, it might do this, but there's too much risk taking it. And that, in conclusion, is horrendous. All right, so when you use half-truths, you can sort of believe it, can't you? But it's not the whole truth. And when you go onto these websites that tend to be pharmaceutical-backed, you are not going to get the whole truth. So the wonderful thing about today's age is that you can actually do a bit of your own research. So if you have been diagnosed with something really nasty, and let's just say cancer, and you do go into the standard run-of-the-mill, government-approved, mainstream websites, you're going to be put off doing anything natural. I think that's appalling, absolutely appalling, when, again, 75% of the world's population use herbal medicine as their primary means of healthcare, and that over 60% now of cancer patients here in this country are already using natural remedies to help their immunity and get through the chemo and the radiation, whatever else treatment. And that's what I think is a really good idea. But the 40% that are not, why aren't they? Are they being put off by their doctors? Are they being put off because they're going into mainstream websites and saying that herbs and so forth are dangerous? But I couldn't, in the time I looked, I couldn't find anything useful on nutrition either. So, but that'll be an open thing. We'll maybe go into that next week. But I urge you that try not to be put off because what they're really saying is that 75% of the world's population are idiots and we don't know what the heck we're doing. And last week I talked about the difference between intelligence and cleverness. It's very, very clever to find a way to make money. And I'm saying try to think outside the square and look again at those things that you ask yourself. Does history prove it? And let's look at natural medicine and in particular herbal medicine. How many years has herbal medicine been used on this planet? Well, for at least 40,000 years. And that's not just some silly idea. That is proven by forensic archaeology. Even Paleolithic human beings used herbal medicine. And in the Bible, the herbal medicine is mentioned 3,000 times. There's not a holy book in the entire world that isn't full of herbal medicine. If it wasn't for herbal medicine, none of us would be alive today. Every one of us a herbalist because you drink coffee and tea, and I bet you've used a bit of thyme and sage and rosemary from time to time. And those herbal medicines are concentrated nutrition because they're unhybridized and they are very nutrient-dense. But the key point here is that they're full of medicinal qualities that actually stimulate the immune system and give you a fighting chance to beat whatever diagnosis you have. So herbal medicine do a great deal to get you strong enough to get through the chemo and the radiation, and that is my point here. So I hope it hasn't been too negative today. You can see I'm a little titchy, you could say, because I would expect better. And of course, there is an advice in the Cancer Society website is called to go and if you want to know more about herbs, ask your doctor or your nurse. Well, why would I want to ask my doctor or nurse about herbal medicine when they've had absolutely no training on herbal medicine? None at all, except the odd seminar by a drug representative telling them about why they shouldn't tell their patients to use herbal medicine. If I want to go and, you know, get my car fixed, I'll go to a mechanic. You know, I won't go to the local dairy and ask him to fix my car. You know, just get outside the square and look at a little bit of rational thing. The other thing about herbal medicine is, does it actually make sense, you know? Just does it make sense, you know? Well, for, you know, millions of years, we've been evolving along with the plant world. If it wasn't for the plant world, none would be alive. Remember, it was plants that actually created chlorophyll that we live on. So, you know, herbal medicine is plants, and they're certainly not harmful. They love you to bits. And so try to be open to this and do a bit of research and see if what I say is true. I'd be loved to hear some of your comments, and we'll get back to some more positive stuff, hopefully, next week. So thanks for listening to Mike McCammon, The Medicine Man. We're on Plains FM. And we'll catch up next week. Bye-bye.